What do we mean by rhema? Receive, declare, and experience the rhema word of God. Now, rhema, because we need to explain this thing, so let me break it down. When you hear the word rhema, it's actually specifically a Greek word that actually, let me just break it down. When I say break it down, let me make it simple so that someone like Ara can understand. And all the children in the house and those online, thank you for taking notes and giving us the feedback of what you are hearing. It's been encouraging to me personally to hear the things the children are writing down. Because I'm telling you, that is God's standard of greatness when we become like little children. And just believe like little children will believe the things you tell them. So, God's specific word to a specific person or individual concerning or regarding a specific situation. I don't know if my slide is up. Were you able to get the slide? So you can just show that particular part of the slide that says God's rhema word. So when we say receive, declare, and experience a rhema word, you are receiving a specific word to you specifically in whatever specific circumstance or situation you are in right now. You see, when you read the Bible in Deuteronomy chapter 8, Deuteronomy chapter 8, thank you, Lord, and verse number 3, there was something, okay? Let's read from verse 2. And this word is for those who are climbing the fourth floor, like they say. So those who just climbed the fourth floor, I know some people in the house, I know some people online. Please take this as a specific word from the Lord to you right now. I'm not mentioning names, but you know yourself. Maybe you turned 40 this year, or you are going to turn 40 this year. Now, it says in verse 2, Deuteronomy chapter 8, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you will keep his commandments or not. Let me read again verse 2. You shall remember the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you, to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you will keep his commandments or not. Listen, wilderness is not a good experience. Wilderness is a place where we experience dryness, where things may not be the way we want them to be. I remembered when I was turning 40 years old, and I took it very literal because I started learning at the age of around 25 years that every day that I'm marking my birthday, the day of my birth, it should be a day of remembrance for me, a day of accountability, a day where I want to reflect on the journey of my life so far, see where I am, and try to compare where I ought to be. Not in comparison with my mates, age mates, no. The Bible says those who compare themselves with themselves, among themselves, they are not wise. Let me tell you, one of the most foolish things for you to do is to look at yourself and start comparing yourself to your age mates. Oh, this is not where my age mates are. This is not, all my age mates now are doing this, they are buying that, they are getting married, they are doing this, they are, you know, doing that and doing that. Let me tell you, the first step into depression, very first step, subtle step, is to look around you and start looking at your age mates. First step, I'm telling you, you are going down from that moment. You start comparing yourself to your age mates, to those around you. Some people will say, you know, but how do I measure myself? Listen, your age mates, right, did not come into the world together with you. Even twins, they come at different times. I'm not sure I've seen twins that came out the same time. Even if they did see us, they bring them out one, somebody say, turn by turn. Listen, wait for your turn. Your time is coming, saith the Lord. He has made everything beautiful for you in its time. That's a word for someone. Stop comparing yourself. You're getting more and more depressed because you're looking around. Stop looking around and stop looking down. The more you look around, I'm telling you, it will aid your looking down at yourself. Look up. Look and live. Look and live. My brother, live. My sister, look to Jesus now and live. It's recorded in His word. Hallelujah. And it's only that you look and live. So you compare yourself to what God has said. Because whatever God has said is what God has planned for you. Not what anybody says or anybody's opinion. I was 40 years old and I was depressed. I mean depressed when I turned 40. I warned my wife, I remember. Please, I'm not celebrating. And don't tell anybody my age. Those were the days that nobody knew, had a clue of my age. Nobody. And even in the church back then, in Love Assembly, we used to be somewhere around Metal Street then. Nobody even knew my birthday. Depressed. Why? I was looking at my mates. I was looking at where I was. And I began to look down at myself. Until God spoke to me. These past 40 years, have you lacked clothes? Have you lacked food? Have you lacked water? And I began to cry. I went from the state of depression to a state of thanksgiving. Please, somebody, I don't know who you are, but this is you. You're feeling low, depressed. Can you look at yourself? Are you wearing clothes? When last did you eat? And let me tell you, you're in a lovely church family. If you don't have food, if you don't have money to buy food, even if you don't have clothes, by the grace of God, we have so many clothes and food in this house, we will give to you. Please, can you just go into a time of thanksgiving? Father, I thank you that I can wear clothes. Father, I thank you I have body to wear the clothes. Thank you that I have food. I have appetite I can eat. I thank you. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for that I can breathe. Let everything that has breath, let them praise the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And you shall remember the Lord your God led you all the way this 40 years in the wilderness to humble you, to test you, to know what was in your heart. God revealed my heart to me when I was 40, just like I've just shared. So whether you will keep His commandments or not, when everything is not happening, will you still be lifting up hands and praising God? When the fig tree, like the prophet said in Malachi, when it doesn't blossom, when there's no fruit in the barns, He says, yet I will praise you. Will you continue to praise and to give thanks? Will you continue to obey? Please continue to obey. God has given you seed. You know, like God has spoken to this couple, God has given you the land. Please plant the seed. When you plant the seed, sir, you don't see a harvest immediately. The seed is first of all buried. You don't know what's happening underneath the soil. But thus saith the Lord, for someone you've planted seeds, just wait. I have made everything beautiful in its time. You make all things beautiful in your time. Lord, please show me every day as you're teaching me your ways, that you'll do just what you say in your time. In your time, in your time, you've made all things beautiful in your time. Lord, my heart to you I bring. May each song I have to sing be to you a lovely thing. In your time. Do you know what I just saw? I saw you preaching. I saw you holding a microphone and preaching. Don't say amen. That's just what I saw. You're going to preach, David. Listen. You're going to testify of what God has done in your life. How old are you now? You're 12. Do you know where they found Jesus in the temple? How old was Jesus when they found him in the temple and he was talking to lawyers? He was 12. Yeah. You're going to preach. Did you hear me? Okay. I saw you preaching. All right. So, verse 3. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger. Look at that. And fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. Listen, child of God. God will supernaturally meet you at the point of your need. Stop trying to think and try to figure out how he will do it. In fact, what I'm hearing is that he has done it. Just wait for the manifestation. He has done it. I don't know who that is for, but God has done it. Just wait for the manifestation. Please pray, somebody, Lord, give me the grace to wait for the fullness of time. Lord, I wait the grace. I receive the grace to wait for the fullness of time. It says that it might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. You see, what you see there is that, I love this translation. There's this translation. It says that it is not just food that keeps people alive. Their lives depend on what God says. It is not just food that keeps people alive. Their lives depend on what God says. You see, when, let me just tell us the desperate situation that some of us might be, and I'll see how the Spirit of God will help us today, because I'm rounding up right now. I just want the Spirit of God to minister to people individually. You see, when you get to a point where this situation, there is no way on this earth that I can find a solution to this situation. I have evidence saying it's not possible. I have doctor's report confirming that this is medically impossible. Medical report confirming that we have given you all the medication. No medication has been found to cure your situation. We've tried this, we've experimented this, we've done all the CT scan, all the the town scan after city's town. We've done the village scan. We've scanned your village. We've seen that the problem is not even from your village. That's what I call village scan. You get to that point where there is no help from nowhere again. Confirmed. That's what God is talking about there. You now realize, unless God intervenes, I'm done. That's what we're talking about. That's the desperation that God wants us to get to. Where you realize that the food, the medication, you know, I was discussing yesterday with one of the doctors in the house. I don't want to mention her name so that they don't withdraw your medical license. We're talking about, you know, the pandemic, the virus and blah, blah. They take first jab, take second jab. They said the first jab will do this, second jab will kill it. Then they said second jab is not enough. Take booster. You take booster. Now they are saying after booster, you have to be boosted from time to time and that, and you know, ongoing. Some of us are tired of being pricked in the body with needles. And you know, the doctor in the house was telling me, I took the first jab, I took the second, I took booster. In fact, my colleagues, it's after they even took the booster, they caught the virus. To let us know, all power belongs to God. A good medical doctor, like my doctor friend, brother I was talking to yesterday, will tell you, we can only try and prescribe, we can only scan, we can only do everything and give treatment. It's God that heals. Only God. So man, my life, if I get to the point where Job said, in Job chapter 14, let's go there. We're going to look at Job chapter 14 and verse 14. And then we're going to look at Job, I think, 32. I sent the scriptures to the media team. Yeah, Job 23, 12. In Job chapter 14 and 14, look at what he said. Some of us know the story of Job. You saw how all his money, billions, property, in one day, at one go, boom, vanished. You know the futility of money and everything during the global lockdown. Everybody saw the futility of the things we chase and run after. When planes would not fly, even flies could not fly. I remember during that time the news, reporters couldn't see people on the street to report. So they started going around filming and said the animals were coming from the forest and roaming around the streets. They took over the streets. Squirrels, foxes. How soon we forget these things. Listen, this message today is to cause a stirring also. There are things God spoke to us in the past 2 years. Everything is easy now, we are forgetting. This is the fifth month of the year. You've even forgotten the vows or the things God told you at the start of the year. The things God told you as a couple, family, husband, wife. The warnings God gave you. You've gone back into captivity because you forgot. You know, my wife and I were praying and exchanging and meditating, and I said, wow, how easy it is to be distracted. How easy. So easy. We made a vow this morning coming to this service praying, Lord, we repent of every distraction. We are staying focused because we realize our lives depend on your word. Job chapter 14 and 14. Look at what it says there. It says, if a man dies, shall he live again? Question mark. All the days of my hard service I will wait. Till what? My change comes. Do you know what brings about the change? The word of God that has been spoken, the promise of God you are holding on to, is what brings the change. It's not a politician. I know a country. They promise change. And everything changed for the worst. Only God can bring a positive change. So I will wait until that change, what God has said, will come to pass. Then look at Job 23, verse 12. This is profound, people. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Proverbs, that's a proverb. Job chapter 23, verse 12. I was looking for Job. I went to Psalm. See, I was instructed today. This is just personal to me. I'm just sharing it. Maybe it can resonate to some with someone. You know, all through the past 2 years, you've been having encounters. God has been speaking to you. You've written some things down, but you've forgotten them. Please go back to what is written. Just go back. Go back to the things God was telling to you, speaking to you when you couldn't go out. Go back to the things you wrote down. Go back to the instructions God gave you. Go back. Go and read the things you wrote. Job 23 verse 12, it says, I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth. Look at this. More than my necessary food. Until we get to that place where we are not living by food alone. We know that it is the word of God that is necessary. I just need to hear what you are saying to me about this situation, Lord. I am in dire straits. Oh God, only you can make a change. I need you. Lord, I'm going through this. I need to hear you. What are you saying? What, oh God, if you don't speak to me, I am done. I perish. Lord, I have no solution. Confirmed, no way out. Doors shut. Everything break down. That is a desperate place we must be every day. Esteeming, King James Version says, the word of God more than the food we eat. More than the necessary food we eat. The Bible says in the word, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. I just realized I need to, in my life, in my walk, you know, so many times, things happen to us as a church. We come under serious attack as a church. You don't know at times what my wife and I go through. Serious, tremendous attack. I say, Lord, unless, oh God, you speak, we are done. I remember one, was it Friday? We were planning a program. Thank God for Sarah and the gang. Ordered for tables, ordered for everything, decoration, everything. They were going to have a lovely event. Well planned, well tailored. On a Friday. And then they got there to supply the tables. And then we got a call that they have sealed up our venue as the church. Locked with notice. If you touch this thing, you are going to be in trouble. Legally, you must not even move near the building. What happened? Completely unexpected. We were having service that night, a prayer meeting. Yes, and I think the event was the Saturday. In such situations, what do you do? You know, it's easy. You know, you are not the pastor of the church. You just go and look for another church, you know. That pastor doesn't have anointing anymore. How can they shut the church? Didn't God show him? I got the call. I said, no. I went there. I saw the notice. Padlock. I rang our then whatever they're called. Thank God for delivering us from 12 years a slave. Yeah, we're bound to them for 12 years. The 12th year, God delivered us. We didn't know God was delivering us. I rang them. I rang the first partner. Said, no, I don't know anything about it. You don't know? They've sealed up. They said it's from you. Oh, yeah, call my partner. I called him. He didn't pick. Called him. He didn't pick. Called him again. Said, okay, I will call him. Rang the other partner. Said, yeah, I've just spoken to him. You need to go and talk to a lawyer. Do you have a solicitor? I said, for what? Said, well, legally speaking, we have disannulled and whatever legal term, your lease, blah, blah, blah. Said, why? For what? Started running. We started running kitty kitty and kata kata. Sorry. Uncle Philip, where are you? He was there that day. Inkem was there. We started running. Lawyer, this, that. Said, no, sorry. We have a program tonight. We've invited the pulpit tomorrow. We have service on Sunday. Sorry. Friday was a Friday. I know one wicked country. The policeman, they won't arrest you on Monday. It's Friday. When no one can bail you so that you can have a staycation in police cell. Get a solicitor. Where are we going to get a solicitor? Blah, 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 blah. They now wanted to force us to sign. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. I'll go into whatever. We'll see something maybe next time, but I need to share this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We started running up and down. Started running. And they were going to force us to sign something that will say, for every time they come to open the door, we'll pay for this, we pay for that, we pay for the bodyguard, we pay for the number of hours. By the time we calculated what we'll pay, it was even going to be more than the lease we were paying per month. This was a lease we signed. We were going to buy the property. We were this close buying the property. We were just meant to exchange the money. Everything was ready. And you locked the place? We started running. Say, well, just sign. People were about to sign. Uncle Philip will bear me witness. It's one of our trustees. So they need a trustee. The trustee, one is in Warrington, the other is in Manchester. But we have one in Liverpool, thank God. He just came back from work. He was sleeping. We had to go and wake him up. I wonder, I almost said poor Philip. Rich Philip, where is he? Where's Elder Philip? Where is he? Please, that's a man of God. Please help me celebrate this man. This man, you don't know him. You don't. Was about to sign. I said, wait. I had wait in my spirit. I went to pray. Listen, I've learned one thing. Dr. Ogeno Mario, I am not afraid when everything collapses. What I want to check is, am I still in the will of God? God has delivered me from that fear. Fear of everybody will leave. Where you are in the bondage to people. Where people now can manipulate you and manipulate your emotions and hold you in an emotional captivity. God is setting somebody free. You've been going through emotional abuse. As you're hearing this word, God is setting you free. Listen, break yourself free. Just loose and let it go. I said, Lord, are you closing down Love Assembly? Just tell me now. That's the way I'm praying. I said, I'll get on the phone. Thank God we have WhatsApp groups. I text everybody. Love Assembly doesn't exist anymore. To your tent, oh Josephine. To your tent, oh Jojo. God said, no. He's not closing down the church. Lord, what are we going to do? I said, wait, we're coming. I said, Uncle Philip, just go. Okay, go. Let's go. We're not signing yet. And I just heard quietly, a rhema word, specific word in that specific trouble. God spoke. In Ken, were you in my car? We're in the same car. Elder Philip was driving behind us. I said, get inside the car. Drive to Crawford House. I said, let's go to Crawford House. As we were entering Crawford House, getting into the car park, we saw the owner of Crawford House. He was kind of, if you remember, in Kenya, was kind of limping. He had been in hospital. He had never been into this in the building, but that day he decided to come. Same as we were driving in, he was coming out. Greeted him. Said, sir, can we use this place on Sunday? Oh, yeah. He said, actually, I just came out of the hospital. I've been at home. Man just had a major surgery. And I just decided to come today. I didn't plan to. Just came. Checked. Yes, you can have it on Sunday. I said, yes, this Sunday. Mind you, they had locked all our equipment. Because it wasn't like this one that we are setting up and pulling down, setting up and pulling down, adjusting and putting camera and running kitty kitty and sorry. Say, okay, thank you, sir. We'll use it for service on Sunday. We had no equipment. Everything was locked up and they said we can't enter that building. And they said they are closing by 4. Is it 4? That is Friday. You better come back quickly with your solicitor. Come and sign. Come and sign so that we'll get somebody to open the door for you on Sunday for a few hours, and you pay for hours. All the stuff we locked up in there, you locked it up, you said legally we can. They showed us all the documents that legally, if we enter there, we're in trouble. A place we had been for years, one day without warning, locked us up. Anyway, we came here, said you can use it on Sunday. And I remember we told him, sir, what about Saturday? Sarah and her gang have an event for Saturday. Can we use it on Saturday? He said, yeah, you can use it on Saturday. I said, and that was the time we were in a serious prayer. We were having miraculous Friday night, miraculous services. Who remembers those who were here then? Miracles were happening. We were holding prayer meetings every Friday. That was a Friday morning. We were all looking forward to coming to pray and see signs and wonders again. They locked us out. So we asked. He said, you know what? I'll even give you a free day. I said, can that free day be this Friday? He said, yes. He said, so that we can set up for. Yeah, he said, come. We didn't go back to sign. We called everybody. We're not praying in Crossfield. We're praying in Crawford House. We gathered ourselves. We prayed. Saturday, all the tables that couldn't be delivered, we diverted everything to Mommy Sissy's house here. But let them just go and dump the tables in the house. Sorry, ma, that we dumped the table. Because we realized we didn't need table. This place had chairs, table, everything set. The only thing were not equipment. Say, Lord, where do we get equipment? Just rang one or two pastor friends. One said he will come from London now and bring a lorry load of equipment for us to use on Sunday. God bless Dr. Tani. They gave us equipment. And we did service. It's just that we didn't have all the razzmatazz we had in that place. Everything is on tape. We all sat around tables on Sunday. But the only thing was Uncle Gift. I was so badly hitting that I said, I'm not preaching. I remember I had to pounce on poor Ezekiel. I said, Ezekiel, you are preaching. You know you are anointed. Come and bring word. Because I was in a place desperate. Lord, what are you saying? What are you saying? What are you saying? What are you saying? And when God began to speak, God began to show us that he was actually delivering us from 12 years slavery to these people who had held us in bondage. There's a way God will use the devil to give you everything he has prepared for you. Okay, I'm ending with Psalm 23. You prepare a table before me. Where? If you are looking for the table, look for where the enemies are. Please, let's bow our heads and pray. I don't care, you are surrounded by enemies, left, right, center, there is a table. Hey, Lord, open my eyes. Thank you, Jesus.